You're listening to Remotely One, a podcast that educates, entertains, and inspires you to take your life back from the office commute. I'm Rick, a former beer rep who left the warehouse to become a voice actor and digital creator.
And I'm Kaleem, a remote work advocate and consultant. We're going to speak with some of the top professionals who have managed to avoid the commute as they share stories from the most inspiring to the most comical, all while working remotely.
Man, this sounds awesome. Let's clock in.
Where are you originally from?
From Poland.
Is there a city that you represent?
Gdańsk, at the seaside. I'm a seaside guy.
He ain't ever going to pronounce that.
All right, let's try it. Yeah, what?
Gdańsk.
One more time.
Gdańsk.
Gdańsk.
Nope.
Gdańsk.
Gdańsk.
Oh, Gdańsk. Gdańsk. Gdańsk?
Is it Gdańsk? Gdańsk.
This is the best part of the show. He loves it. You're gonna play this over and over for your Poland friends. But listen to this dumb motherfucking American can't even get this shit.
Gdańsk.
Gdańsk. Gdańsk, Poland. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone, to Remotely One. I am your host, Rick Haney, joined by my esteemed colleague, Kaleem Clarkson. What's going on, brother?
I just love to fly. I love to fly.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back in the booth. My brother from another mother. Hey, since you know how to find us, do us a huge favor. Go to ratethispodcast.com/remotelyone and leave us a review. Not a big deal. Won't take more than 5 seconds of your life. Again, ratethispodcast.com/remotelyone, and we would be ever so grateful. Since 2015, Remotely One is one of the largest communities of remote work professionals, with over 2,500 Slack members and 4,000 email subscribers. That's huge. Those are good numbers. I like that. It's free to join, so go check it out at remotelyone.com. And with that stuff out of the way, Kaleem, please, if you would, give us a tease or two about today's special guest.
Look at this. He's in the zone, folks.
Ooh. He's in the zone.
Ooh, I put my shirt on. I put my podcast shirt on with the colors. So, you know, just shining bright for today's guest, because today's guest is cool as ish. Today's guest still loves the frosted tip hairstyle. Still looking great. I mean, our guest today is I don't want to say a trendsetter. Our guest today is a trendsetter, Rick.
Yes.
They are originally from Poland, Rick. Our guest today is originally from Poland in Gdańsk.
Oh.
Thanks, Poland, Yep.
Okay.
By the sea, dude. Yep.
That's a great Polish accent, by the way.
Yes.
By the sea.
By the sea. All right. Our guest is also a contributing writer for WeWork. Guess, right? Our guest today is also an author. They wrote
an author?
Books. An author. Yes, a writer.
Writer of books.
It's good, too. I got one. Okay. I have a copy.
Awesome. Sweet.
I should show everybody, but I'm not going to.
All right.
It's awesome. The book is called Remote Work is the Way. Check it out. I was very, very, very lucky to get an early copy, so thank you. He's helped over 3,000 companies, Rick. 3,000 companies, and has been a remote work advisor for, I don't know, ING Bank, it's a little company, Walmart, just a tiny business, Microsoft, if you haven't heard of them. So again, Rick, although our guest is cool as ish, just chilling, I had to put on two shirts today.
That's big time. I can feel the perspiration from here.
These have pads in them, Rick, so I don't
absorption pads
through them. That's right. I had to put it on because I'm so nervous.
It's no wonder we're so successful.
Rick, our guest is also the founder at the Saudi AI Leadership Forum.
Wow. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, something that we learned about our guest today is that he's addicted to American and European politics. Just addicted to it. He just keeps Googling it, watching it like it's a TV show. I mean, well, I guess I understand. I mean, we've seen some ish.
It's the most entertaining shit in the world. I mean, let's be honest.
But it he doesn't know show. Why he keeps doing it to himself, because it is emotional. It's an emotional investment. It's yes. like you're up and then you're down, you're up and down.
Yeah.
He has called 15 countries his home. 15 what? Countries. Yeah.
So he's a world traveler.
Right. He loves okay. dogs. He loves Keanu Reeves and Point Break because he loves to surf. And well, you know yeah. what I mean? Like he is. You know, yeah. he is living the life. Hang yeah. 10, baby.
He's got more of the Patrick Swayze look to him, though. I'll give him that.
Yes. Yeah. What was Patrick's name in that movie?
Brody. Was it Brody?
Brody, my gosh. Rick, our guest is the CEO and co-founder of Remote How, which helps organizations oh. make remote and hybrid work work.
Oh.
He's also the co-founder and head of Remote at the Remote First Institute. Listeners and viewers, please give a warm welcome to Ivo Shapar! Let's go! Let's go, Brody! Let's go, Brody! We're doing this!
Making this happen,
finally.
Ivo.
Finally. Oh,
my gosh.
Studio audience, settle down.
All right. Take a pill, people.
My God.
Let's chill out. Thank you.
We finally got him on the show.
Guys, I need to say that was the longest intro I've ever had, but then the best one as well. So,
well, we had to tell your life story to make it credible, if you will.
Right. I mean, we figure 10 minutes of the intro and like five minutes of the podcast. That's
yeah. You know what's funny is that Kaleem, you went out of your way to say, "Hey, don't mention your name during the intro," and then you mentioned his name. So we'll have to cut that out.
That is the best.
No, it's really it's an honor to be here. We finally make it happen. So really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy that the stars have aligned and you're able to meet with us. So let's dig right into this thing, shall
we? Audience, we've been trying to book Ivo for over a year and a half. Okay,
here we go.
So if you want to get to him, y'all need to get working now. I suggest that. I suggest that.
He is that important. Yes.
Just trying to optimize, you know, like after having two burnouts, I learned that you need to say no more often. You need to organize things in a different way. But I'm still learning. But it's a pleasure that we are here. So let's have some fun.
Yes, man. I will say, if you don't start booking now, if you don't book him soon, you're going to get the AI version.
So, for sure.
We need to make that happen. So Ivo, I mean, I'm fascinated by your history, but the 15 countries thing, I mean, holy cow. What has it been like making that claim? Like, tell me some of the things, some of the places, your experiences.
Oh, name them. Name them. Let's go. You got
in alphabetical order, please.
Yes, alphabetically, please. First name them. Let's go. I know you got the list ready. Let's
Go. So it all started when we moved to US. So we lived in Austin 1.5 years. Then we moved to many countries in Asia. So we lived in Vietnam, in Cambodia, in Thailand, a bit of Hong Kong. Then we went back to Europe. Poland, Portugal, Spain. Then we went back to Asia. We were in Vietnam for over a year, almost 1.5 years during COVID. Then came back. Then another place in Spain. Again, Portugal. What have I missed? Italy, Morocco. I don't know if we're at 15 or not, but Colombia.
I think you hit it.
Yeah. 13 or 14 or whatever. It's
right.
Yeah.
So were these all by choice, or were you following opportunities?
No, choice. So we had so the first one was the opportunity, to be precise, because we I was working for a company that offered me to relocate from Europe to US. So that was kind of like the start of the journey. But then when we started Remote How in late 2017, it was our mission to empower everyone to have the freedom of choice where and when you work, and obviously how you work. And this is also how we ran our company. So we had a team that was spread across multiple time zones, and we were also able to live in different places. So that was the starting point. And then from there, it turned into, in the beginning, the digital nomad thing in like 2018, 19, 20. But then we kind of got tired of like constantly moving and changing places. So in March 2020, we happened to be in Vietnam. And you know what happened in March 2020? You may have heard of this thing called COVID.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember this.
Vaguely. Yeah. So we were in Vietnam in March 2020, and then it kind of forced us to stay there for a longer time. And then we decided to stay even longer. And that was probably like one of the best times we ever had. And I experienced something totally different. So in Vietnam, big place in my heart.
Evo, oh, that's amazing.
Evo, quick question. Like, this is before the pandemic where you decided, hey, let's go somewhere else. What was the thing that kind of made you decide, hey, we want to kind of be digital nomads? Was there something, just this infatuation with just travel? Like what?
So I think there were like multiple factors, starting from chasing the sun. So that would be like number one. Then number two would be learning about other cultures and places in a different way, that you just like travel for holidays for like a week or two. It's totally different than being somewhere for a few weeks, few months, and living with locals. So I think that's the second thing. Then obviously, if you can be in different places, you can also do different things on a day-to-day basis. So it's not always the same surroundings, not always the same hobbies, not always the same people. I think then another aspect is people. We've met literally, I would say, that probably if I sit down and write it down, thousands of people throughout these years from different continents, different backgrounds. And we've with a lot of them, we keep in touch. And I think this is a huge enrichment to your perspective of the world, as compared to if you were born in a single in a specific country and you lived there for, I'm not saying that this is good or bad, I'm just saying that
right.
If you experience something like this, you sometimes have a different point of view. So I think that was something that maybe didn't understand, but we started to really appreciate as we experience it on a daily basis. And then obviously, as a wrap up, being able to work in different locations gives you, at least for us, it was a happiness factor. So it was positively impacting the well-being. Of course, there were ups and downs, like everywhere. During the time, I had two burnouts, but that's more related to overworking rather than just like changing places, right?
Right. Chasing the sun and perspectives. I mean, those are the two things for me. I love chasing the sun. It took me a second to connect what you're saying. I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Like, we know about no sun up there in Maine, dog. There's no sun sometimes. You know?
That's why we both live in the South now.
But yeah, that perspective, you know, you're right. There is no right or wrong way. If you grow up and stay in your hometown, that's great. I mean, that's how, you know, cultures have grown over centuries, and that's fine.
But yeah.
How you talk about connecting and experiencing other things and just growing a different perspective, I hadn't really thought too much about that when it comes to traveling. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I think there is this, having discussed this topic many times with my friends, it's a lot of people dream about, oh, I would love to be a digital nomad, slow mad. This is kind of like the transition that we also made to like be slower and then being in a single place, etc., etc. So there's a lot of talk, but then especially before COVID, when remote work was not that big of a thing, it was a lot of dreams, but it was hard to fulfill these dreams. And it doesn't also mean that if someone wanted to do something, that was right for them. They thought it would be so cool to be in Vietnam on a beach, or Philippines, whatever, Thailand, right? And have this photo when you're saying like you're when you're lying down with your computer and like working. Mm-hmm. But then we met a bunch of people that actually did it. It was in many cases a risky move. They needed to sacrifice many things, etc. And they were like, nah, you know what? Actually, this is not for me. But at least they tried. So the majority were just like talking and thinking, right, oh, it would be so right. cool. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah. in many cases, it turned into like complaining about their own lives versus the others that tried. And then either they loved it and they're still on the road or the others are like, this is not for me, but at least not I tried. Me. So now I know.
Now they have the taste for it. So
yeah,
if you would tell us about the origins of Remote How and what was the motivation to start that company?
Yeah. So at that time, kind of like two things were going on in my life. So one, on the professional side, I was trying to find talent in Austin to join my team. And it was really hard because Austin was already quite a competitive market for talent. And at the same time, we had a bunch of conversation in the office with other millennials at that time that it would be super cool to be able to work remotely, which was then again also one of the motivations that I had privately. So I started to think like, if there is a business case where you can make businesses happier and people happier by opening up to talent from anywhere, and then also allowing your people to work in different places.
Eva, what year is this roughly?
2017.
Wow. So just to clarify, so everybody, he's having this vision 3 years before the pandemic, 3 years before. So he's like, you know, hey, wouldn't it be great if people were happy at work?
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that, right? And then I discovered that like I had over like 40 calls with different HR and like C-level people. And there are like basically two conclusions. Like one is that no, this is not for us. We don't believe in this. We prefer office, whatever. And then the other group, way smaller, was like, yeah, maybe, but you know, we don't know how to do it, right? So that's how Remote How was born. Now, kudos to my wife. She invented the name.
Oh, good.
Hey, shout out. What's your name? Let's give her some proper
Ola.
Proper response.
Ola. Alexandra. Short Ola. Yeah.
Alexandra, good work on that. Good work.
Yes.
On that.
So this is how we started. And for the first 2.5 years, we've been going through a lot of, I would say, different projects and products that we built. So we started with the Remote Future Summit. That was before COVID, that the largest virtual conference on remote work. Then we launched the Remote How Academy, which was, again, world's first certification program for remote workers, managers, HR, and individuals. Then we launched the marketplace with remote and hybrid work experts for consulting projects. So there was like a lot of stuff that we've been building, but the common denominator was like to enable both individuals, teams, and companies to be better in how they operate in a distributed environment.
We'll be right back after these words.
2020 was no joke. It changed the game for everyone. Workplace flexibility is no longer a perk, but an expectation. In fact, a recent study showed that a flexible schedule is more important than salary. Yeah, you heard that right. Employees want choices over cash. If you're a startup or a small business that doesn't have a remote work strategy, stop what you're doing right now and complete our free tree assessment at blendmeinc.com. Since 2013, BlendMe Inc. has been helping small businesses improve the remote employee experience. Let's stay local, but compete global. Visit us at blendmeinc.com. That's blendmeinc.com. Ever wonder how certain ads catch your attention or get stuck in your head? It's because the person voicing it knows how to tell the story. Now, maybe they're telling you to stumble over to Sullivan's St. Patrick's Day for green beers, Irish car bombs, and corned beef all freaking day. Or maybe, don't miss the deal of a lifetime this President's Day at Callahan Ford. Savings like these should be unconstitutional. Or maybe,
come wash away your troubles here at Cooter's Car Wash. We ain't no soap opera, but you'll be singing high praises. Hoo-wee, Cooter's.
Or, here at Brooks Brothers Mortuary, we put the fun in funeral.
Everyone is just dying to join us. All right, well, that's a bit much. But for you, I'll do it. I'm Rick Haney, and if you're a business owner looking for a creative voice in your marketing, look no further. I'll tell your story the way you want it told. Follow along at Remotely We Are One, or visit my website at rickhaney.me for more information.
And now, back to the show.
Wow. So I met you from one of your conferences, and it was a great conference, well organized. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
And then also the consulting program. I joined that as well. And it was pretty impressive, the number of people and the number of experts that you were able to reach out to and connect with and build a network of. You're talking some of the top experts in the world you were able to bring in to Remote How. Who were some, you know, if it's possible, if it's all right, what were some of the companies that you all kind of worked with? And, you know, do you remember any challenges that you were able to help companies with?
Oh, now you're opening up a question where I can be talking for hours. So I will try to keep it short and still interesting.
Maybe something that was a little bit more surprising. Like, you know, hey, yeah, we've worked with all these other companies, but this one case, you know, maybe something that you're like most proud of, or the thing was really surprising, you know?
Yeah. So I think in general, so we worked, like you mentioned in the beginning, with like the largest ones like Walmart, Microsoft, ING Bank, but then we also worked with various startups, scale-ups, SMB. So we literally worked with the tiniest and the largest and everything in between, right? So we had a full spectrum. Pretty cool. I think one of the common denominators, which was a surprise to me, and it's the same case today, is that it's really hard to change things. As simple as that.
Yes.
So
change is tough.
Change is freaking tough, right?
Yeah. Really. Organizational change is extremely hard.
Organization change is extremely hard, but also changing work habits on the individual level is also hard. So it's kind of this, you have this vision and you think you can give tools and frameworks and knowledge and support and basically everything, and it will happen, but then the reality catches on and you might be finishing the project and be like, everything is done. We like our consultants delivered training, built processes, did coaching, like you have access to all what you need, and then you leave and things are not going in the way they're supposed to be, right? And this is out of your control. Like, you did what you were supposed to do. The customer 100%. Is happy. And what to do with this next, right? So, and this goes beyond remote, hybrid, distributed. This is just
definitely
a general challenge, right? So that's why I was extremely interested when, it's been already 1.5 year ago, when OpenAI revealed the ChatGPT 3 at the time, because they started to see that AI could be this power that would turn the best practices that we've been talking about, like as subject matter experts, and you've been doing this as well, on kind of autopilot, right? That it can really provide the ongoing guidance and support to people, because before then, it was tough. But kind of coming back to the initial question, so the number one surprise that the change is hard. And the second one is kind of related to how companies saw remote change, remote distributed, whatever, in 2020, then in 2021, 2022, 2023, and now. I would say that we're still in phases and they're repeating. So there is like, remote is okay. No, remote is not okay. Office remote is okay. No, remote is not okay. Like, and you're going back and forth. So I thought before COVID that's like, once you join, like once you see that this is the future, you're like consequently going step by step to do it. But right now I see that it's not the case. And then companies can completely reverse their previous policies and stance on this. So that would be a surprise number two from that couple of years.
Well, you talked very briefly about it just a moment ago, but I know it's a huge part of everything that you're doing right now. So
Can you talk a little bit more about the impact of AI that it's having on remote work and why people need to embrace it instead of fear it? It feels like everyone's afraid of it, but they're not really embracing it the way they should.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So probably we've all heard this quote that AI won't replace you. It will replace people that are not using AI. So it will stay forever and it will change a lot of jobs. It will also replace some of the jobs. So we've been talking about reskilling and upskilling for decades. But right now, you're hitting the wall in certain areas. You can hit the wall, or you're hitting if you're working in customer success or recruitment. I think those are based on that latest report by Deal a few months ago, that you can already see that the most layoffs are happening in these two areas.
Hang on. You're saying like we're already seeing the impacts of AI on like customer support. I mean, I think I can understand that. I have a question. I can use an AI bot to help me get through my challenges. And then what was the other space you said? You said
recruitment.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's already happening, just not at the large scale yet. Most companies are still in a phase of like experimenting, doing pilots, understanding how we can really impact what they're doing. And if you look at what is the number one, actually question to you, what is the number one challenge for organizations according to Fortune 500 CEOs in 2024? Number one challenge, a single word. You go.
All right, probably AI, implementing AI.
Okay, Rick?
I think I would have to say the same thing, to be truthful.
Okay, so you both are wrong, and it's productivity.
Wow, okay.
Really? The number one challenge, yes. It's a report by Atlassian, released 2 months ago, how to be more productive, right? How to be more productive.
Right.
And like what you said is true when you look at how you can fix this. And of course, like AI is the solution or can be one of the solutions. So if you look big picture, it's no longer about remote, hybrid, distributed. It's no longer about office. It's about totally redefining how we are going to work and how machines will either enhance some of knowledge workers. And for some, you would need to redefine your career, right? And of course, as you can see from previous technological changes on the market, it takes years. Sometimes it takes decades. In this case, it would be rather years, but the AI adoption will be accelerating in a similar way how the AI in general is getting smarter, right? So you're hitting this curve and then it's like exponential growth. So if you're listening this today and you're not using AI daily with your tasks, start doing this. And the best advice that I can give is to figure out specific tasks. You can use the framework called Jobs to be Done, where AI would be helping you get this job done, like a mini workflow, mini process where AI will be guiding you to make this a more pleasant experience for you, or to make this happen faster, or to have a better quality, right? But look for use cases, simple, small things, right?
Yeah. So you're talking about AI, remote work. You also started the Remote First Institute.
I like starting things.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So you've been doing this for a while. Where do you think all of this is heading? Every, you know, guest we have, we try to talk about like where they see these things heading. But from your perspective, just knowing the things that you have learned, especially kind of being in that AI space, you have kind of a little bit different angle of where the industry's going. Like, what is this impact of remote work having on the industry and where are we going? You hear all of these different things like, oh, we're going into the office, forced return. Then you see these office occupancy reports and they're half empty. You have skyscrapers empty all over the world. And it's not just the United States. You have China with empty skyscrapers as well. And I'm sure you have some cities where you're at. What's next, Ivo?
That's a very good question. And I don't know. Honestly, I would love to say, yeah, this is what will happen. Because coming back to what I said previously, you have these like cycles where we think where stuff is going, but then it's going the other direction in 6 months. right? But that was happening before we knew that that AI is going to be such a big thing. I think this is the kind of, yes, last year companies were already like talking about it, thinking about it. But this year, this is like, okay, now we need to adjust our strategy because there is this massive, massive, massive disruption, way larger than remote, like working from anywhere, right? That would impact us. So I'm still going back and forth on the question of who is dictating terms right now on the market, if it's employees or employers. Probably today, for more and more positions, it's the employer. As an example, for years, software engineers were dictating all the terms.
Yeah.
I want to have everything times 10, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, if you look at the market just specifically here, and of course, they had the remote work option. They can work anywhere, basically, anywhere, anytime. But then if you look at people that are entering the job market today and they would like to be a software engineer already, or maybe they're already a post-university in that field, etc., it's not easy to get a job in general, right? If you're a junior software engineer.
Yeah. Right? It's hard, very difficult. Just getting a job.
Right, just getting a job, right? Mm-hmm. So then if you again zoom out and look at where we are going, office, non-office, like it's the time of a lot of unknowns and the things that we would say, yeah, this is certain, like becoming a software engineer and you will have a very good career. We would say a year ago, 2 years ago, 100%, right? But right now, it's no longer the case, right? Mm-hmm. A CEO of in NVIDIA said that it's better to learn agriculture than computer science, which I agree. So
AI can write code. I mean,
yeah, it can write code. It can do a lot of things. So, and again, we are at the very early days. So if you tried an AI tool and it didn't give you what you wanted, it either means that you prompted it wrong, so you didn't give enough context, so it's your fault, or just the system is not good enough yet, but it's today, and it's basically becoming better and better every day, every week, right?
So you're going to take a stance? Is that what you're saying? You're not even going to, you block and bridge this question this whole time. You're like, blah, 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 blah. No. Next question. You've been watching way too much American politics and European politics. You pulled a block and bridge, bro. You were just like, so
he's
you
learned.
Know what I think? The future. Are we even talking to Evu right now? Is this even Evu or is this his AI?
You don't know. You don't know. It's a
think
very good model.
Think about the children.
No, you're absolutely right. Like things move so quickly. I swore probably in 21, like, you know, of June of 21, I was like, yo, the whole world is going to stay remote. Nobody is going, like, no company is ever going to want people back. Like I thought for sure it was over. Like the game was over, I thought at that point.
Yeah.
And I was 100% wrong. And you throw in AI. Who knows? Maybe we return to the office because the AI needs our, you know, bone marrow or something like that. Maybe we got to go. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe they figure out AI needs bone marrow to be more human. So we got to go into the offices to be freaking sucked of our bone marrow. Who knows? But you're right.
Oh, like, boy.
You can't tell. I was watching some sci-fi last night.
I was going to say, what have you been watching?
Perfect. Perfect segue.
Evo. This is my favorite part of the show. Can you share with us a comical or inspiring moment you have had while working remotely?
Ooh.
I had a few, but one that really stuck in my head was in the early days. I didn't mention Indonesia. We were in Bali. It was 2018. We're actually at Lombok, so another island. And at that time, we were raising our round, our pre-seed. I was the first and the last. Then we almost died twice as a company and then bootstrapped for the last 3-4 years. But at the time, I was like, investors, let's do it. And I was riding a motorcycle and we were about to get on a ferry. There were like hundreds of locals around us with their chickens and pigs and other motorcycles, whatever. And then this investor is calling me. And I'm like, should I take it or not? And he's calling me on video as well. And I'm like, okay, YOLO, whatever. And then just YOLO. We did a call. And it was a very, I would say, a good bonding experience because we didn't just talk about business. So that was probably one of the first calls because it was in the beginning of our traveling. And I was like, yeah, I wouldn't be pretending that I'm somewhere else or I'm, I don't know, in a cozy cafe, whatever. I'm just here and this is like totally normal. So I think that was a small milestone to then how I operated and had calls from really, really weird and interesting places, but also with some magical views on the nature, etc. So
wait, hang on. Just to clarify, you're riding on a motorcycle. You're cruising, there's pigs and shit cluckling all over the place. And they're chickens cluckling. Running around. They're cluckling. Yeah. And you can hear, you feel your cell phone. Do you pull over or are you just pulling some gangster ass ish where you're holding the cell phone up and riding the motorcycle one handed? I need to understand this.
Yeah, yeah. So in general, I had this trick that I was putting my phone in my helmet so I didn't need to like hold it, right? This is the something that I learned later when we lived in Vietnam, and this is was my ongoing thing. But that at that time for this particular conversation, we were boarding the ferry. So okay, we were like okay. Driving it slowly, but there was like a lot of chaos around us.
Oh, right. So you're on the motorcycle getting on the ferry.
Yes, like a very wow. Local, small ferry going between one Indonesian island to another
one.
So
you're getting seasick, you're getting seasick. And so are you holding the phone or did you go cameras off?
No, camera on. No. Because he went camera on. So I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk serious business.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love for you to invest a couple hundred million into my company. Hang on.
Yeah.
No worries. Don't worry about it. I'm just on a ferry. That is, exactly. That's just out of curiosity. Did you get the round?
With him? Yeah. He got the round.
What?
All right.
Wow. What a story, sir. Woo! Yes. Round of applause. Yes. That's
that
impressive.
Is the ultimate victory. Congratulations. Wow.
Damn. I guess you wouldn't have told the story if the dude was like,
no, I would. I failed. No, he passed. I failed so many times, but that was not this moment.
Oh, good. Good, good.
That's a great one, man.
So, Ivo Shapar, where can our listeners and viewers find you?
Yes. I think LinkedIn is the best place. Let's connect there. And if there's any way how I can help, I'm always more than happy to do so.
Well, you've definitely helped us by being on our show. We appreciate all of your insights and your stories and
my
your
pleasure.
Experiences. Man, oh man, thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
Awesome, man. Come back anytime. Peace.
You've been listening to Remotely One. Visit us at remotelyone.com/podcast for upcoming episodes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our episodes on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, don't forget to clock out.